Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
AEW's first ever TV episode of Dynamite on TNT is in the books. We've just watched it, and we're going to go through the highlights, the midlights, and the lowlights. It wasn't a flawless show. It started off spectacularly, and then it sort of settled into a groove, and then it had some really fantastic moments near the end that was mired with a fair bit of confusion and logic holes, and just maybe not the best way of doing things. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, and the first thing we'll talk about was Jon Moxley was advertised for a promo segment on the show. Instead, he turned up very early on into the six-man tag main event between Santana and Ortiz and Jericho versus The Elite, which is the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, where Kenny Omega was about to do his Terminator dive to the outside. Jon Moxley appeared behind him, and then they just brawled all the way through the crowd to the VIP area in the back.
Yeah, including some mop shots, literally Kenny being the cleaner and taking out Jon Moxley. And it led to a spot where Moxley gave him the double arm DDT through a glass coffee table. Looked brutal.
Yeah, it was great. It was really high angle too. Yeah. Obviously, it was gimmicked glass because no one was bleeding immediately. Yeah. But it looked great. The whole crowd were really into it. But then we got another 10 minutes of the match that should have been DQ'd still going on.
Yeah, it was so weird that it wasn't like, because the referee was standing there going like, "What are you doing, John? Get out of the ring, John." And then like John attacked him and they brawled. And the ref was like, "I guess the match is carrying on then. It's now a 3-on-2 handicap match." It was a really bizarre thing. And someone actually just said in the chat, so I was just kind of scrolling through stuff there, and be like, it felt like a WCW match.
Mm.
Like in that sense of like, there were times with WCW where you're like, whatever, we'll just do this.
Yeah, and it kind of jarred with how much thought and attention had gone into other parts of the show.
Yeah.
Where there was so much attention and detail placed upon some of the finishes and the wins-loss records. Some of the commentary was really, really specific and nicely observed. But then you'd have these really large logic holes of, no, this is a DQ right now.
Yeah, the match should have been thrown out.
It's a 3-on-2 thing. And then in a very WCW way at the end, it's just, yeah, but run-ins. And then you had Cody Rhodes run down at the end. Jericho won with the Judas elbow. And the heels start beating up the Young Bucks. Cody Rhodes runs down to fight off Jericho because they had a scuffle earlier on. Jericho attacked Cody after his match. Of course, they're facing each other at Full Gear, the first proper pay-per-view of the TV era for the AEW world title. And then Sammy Guevara, Cody's opponent earlier on, came down to kick him in the balls. Dustin, Cody's brother, ran down to save them. So you've got this mishmash. And then the other, probably the biggest talking point coming out of all of this, former WWE champion.
World heavyweight champion.
World heavyweight champion, Jack Swagger, who now goes by his real name, Jake Hager, who's been an MMA fighter, really, for the last couple of years.
Certainly the last year. He's currently undefeated. He's 2-0. But from what I gather, because I'm not an MMA guy, I don't really follow it. But from what I can gather, it was against not good guys.
But he does have an amateur wrestling background. He was a NCAA champion, I believe. That's sort of what his gimmick was based on in WWE. And he had a push beyond his experience, I would say. He won a world title way too early, and then he settled into a mid-card gimmick. And he got over in the mid-card gimmick, but was never really given the opportunities since then. But I don't think anyone was really crying out for, "Ooh, can't wait for that Jack Swagger return."
I think what they were looking for was just a debut. I think it was what AEW wanted to have was like a debut to enter this show. Problem is like it's not on the same level as Moxley, and so therefore it's going to feel way, way less.
Yeah,
that, you know, a bit of a step down.
So that was what happened. Hager ran in, Jack Swagger, of course, attacked Dustin, sort of focused most of his violence on Dustin, which presumably will start a feud between the two and maybe a pay-per-view match down the line. And this random assortment of heels, Hager, Jericho, Tito Santana and Ortiz
and Sammy
stood tall at the end of the show over the co-executive vice president's carcasses.
And I think I really enjoyed the show, actually. I thought, you know, to put it out there, I very much enjoyed the show. I thought it was a really, really a solid debut episode. Not a flawless episode, as you said at the start, but I did enjoy it overall. But I think my main criticism I had against it was that it was very heel heavy. And it was, we had a beatdown after the Sammy Cody match. We had MJF being a heel. We had Pac beating Hangman Page and not letting go of the submission move like a heel. We had Nyla beating down Riho after the match as sort of a heel move. And then the show ended with all the heels standing tall. And it just took me back to those few months ago we had in WWE with when Raw was all heel, heel, heel and trying to get all that heel heat. And it's sometimes you just want to see the good guys get their moments. And I don't think we ever really got that on this show.
Yeah, because one of those main ones was Riho overcoming Nyla Rose to become the first ever, the inaugural AEW Women's Champion. That is a feel-good moment. Yeah, and it was a match that had its difficulties because there were a lot of botches in there. Wasn't exclusive to this match. This match had the most botches, I'd say. But there were a lot of missed spots and botches throughout the night in all the matches.
With the exception of that main event, I'd say.
Mm. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. The main event was somehow flawless with the Young Bucks doing all these flippity flips.
It's just the way Nick Jackson moves. I reckon Nick Jackson's actually making loads of mistakes, but he's so fast we just don't see any of them.
Yeah, but Riho wins. She's the inaugural women's champion. But Nyla, Michael Nakazawa started to say that he's so proud of her, cut a promo afterwards.
He was going
to
interview her in Japanese for the Japanese audience.
But then Nyla Rose attacked Nakazawa and then attacked Riho as well. She's about to do a Death Valley Driver, it looked like, on the ring apron. The hardest part of the ring, when Kenny Omega runs down and saves Riho from that fate. Because, of course, Riho is a Kenny Omega project, really. He is pushing the Joshi women's wrestling, the Japanese women's wrestling in AEW's women's division.
And on the countdown show that they aired on Tuesday night, they were tying Riho and Kenny together because she was saying that Kenny was the person who kind of convinced her to join AEW and sign the contract with them.
Yeah. So like you said, that the opening match was fantastic, Cody versus Sammy.
Loved that match.
That was my match of the night.
Yeah, same here.
And there were thrilling bits, obviously the Moxley stuff. It's Hager, Jack Swagger's whole debut.
Pac and Page.
Was exciting, even though it's like not the most thrilling idea or prospect.
I think this is a very interesting topic because I think you, as a lot of people, and myself, I think I would be including this, he has got a mid-card stink about him. He is a reject WWE mid-carder. I don't think he has had, like when Cody went away, or when Cody was released, he also had that bit of a WWE mid-carder stink, but has leveled himself up to the point where now you put him on a paper, you're like, oh yeah, he's a legit main eventer. Hager hasn't really had that moment. He is still just, he's got that, mid-card stink about him. And so when you now put him into a main event position, and I do appreciate that the company are pushing people as, even if you are a former WWE mid-carder, same with Sean Spears. It's like, yeah, you were a lower mid-carder, but we're pushing you as an actual deal in this company. So it's a better presentation. And I think Sean Spears, the way they presented him, does feel like a much bigger deal than he was in WWE. So it'd be interesting to see over the next few weeks how they present Hager and whether or not he can kind of remove that mid-card stink that he had attached to him. Because, I mean, we've sort of coined this term on this show as of late, the forever mid-card that was the WWE from 2006 to 2011. There is just a class in that five-year period that are the forever mid-card that never ascended. They would be champion, but always treated like the mid-card. And unfortunately, Hager is one of those guys.
But then a lot of those people, like you say, got out of WWE and made their names elsewhere. Cody, Drew McIntyre. Swagger isn't one of those people, unfortunately. So we'll see where he does, what happens with him. Elsewhere, you've already said, Pac goes 2-0. They really played up the wins-losses records on this show. As soon as the bell rang for a match, they'd be like, that puts this person up to this amount of wins.
Yeah.
Puts them instead for this kind of title shot. And even in the main event, they were saying, well, if LAX beat the Young Bucks here, even though it's a six-man tag, you'd expect LAX... keep calling them LAX.
I know, it's hard, man.
Santana and Ortiz to take their position in the tag team tournament. So we'll see what happens there as well. But also, we had some celebrity cameos.
We did indeed. from one of my teenage heroes, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. You know, in my teenage years, I was obsessed with the movies of Kevin Smith and the Viewersk universe. So actually, it genuinely was a bit of a mark-out moment for me to see Kevin Smith there at ringside. And he got involved in an angle when Angelico and Jack Evans came out. So someone was cut a promo on him and tell him that Morris Day and the Times sucks. And Private Party came out to kind of like to quell that and to pass some beers around instead.
Because they'll be having a match next week part of the tag tournament.
Private Party are facing Young Bucks next week. Angelico and Jack Evans aren't in the tournament.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's probably just to build something off the back of that.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith, his new film, the Jay and Silent Bob reboot film, stars Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That was how they sort of tied it all in there. But yes, overall, you know, a very solid episode, I'd say. Have we got any super chats to...
Well, we have. Do you want to give any just sort of quick wrap-up thoughts of your highlights and your lowlights?
I just gave.
You gave? Yeah, okay, fair enough. Jack Veman says, are you making Hot Ones? No, Hot Ones is a show on YouTube, and I've never seen it, so I don't know if they have a highlights, lowlights.
I don't know.
Linara says, AEW 3 out of 5 for me, or 3.5 out of 5 for me. Could be interesting to see how the regular shows work out now and hope they haven't blown their loads too early. I mean, if you're getting it 3.5 out of 5, I hope you haven't thought that's their highs.
Yes.
They peaked too soon at 3.5 out of 5.
They didn't have to do much to, like... They just had to be logical. And yeah. I felt like there were a lot of logic holes there.
That was my issue as well. Power Level Media says, Riho versus Nyla match was horrible. So many botches.
There were a lot of botches, but to their credit and to the crowd's credit as well, they really were supporting both women. They did get the crowd back into the match. And after some of those botches, I thought, oh God, they've lost everyone now. But their work rate was so good that they got people back in.
I think that's why I have a higher opinion of that match than some others would. To your point there is that I thought they did very well. When they did botch something, they didn't just repeat the spot. They would just work it into the story that they were telling into the match. It was like, Riho couldn't lift her up for that spot. Oh, fine, we'll just work this in. Nyla just laughs it off and be like, okay, well, let's carry on and do something else then. As opposed to being like, oh, well, let's just repeat the spot and then we'll do the other planned stuff that we've currently got. So I thought they did so well in getting the crowd back into the match because that STF spot, which wasn't a botch, just killed the crowd during the ad break. Justin Todd says, Moxley versus Spears next week. Cannot wait.
Yes, it'd be really exciting to see John Moxley actually wrestle a match as opposed to just brawl around the entire place.
Indeed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.